good SEO is good GEO. The core principles are still exactly the same. If your brand is on Reddit and if your consumers are on Reddit and you focus on that, then you will just naturally, if you do good work and you have good brand authority, you will just naturally be a ChatGPT top contender. All of these large language models are data consumers. And in order to be able to get data, you still need technical SEO.
It's the E-commerce Master Plan podcast, here to help you solve your marketing problems and grow your e-commerce business. Cutting through the hype to bring you inspiration and advice from the e-commerce sector and beyond. Here's your host, Chloe Thomas.
Hello and welcome. It's great to have you here. Thank you for hitting play and choosing to listen to one of our inspiring guests. In this episode, we're tackling another WWYD. Yes, it's a What Would You Do episode. This time we are drilling deep into one marketing challenge that I expect all of you are thinking about right now. AI search / GEO, call it what you will. We call it GEO. But it's a big question mark at the moment. What do you need to do? What do you need to care about? How do you track it? What sort of results can you expect? What should you do with your team to make it, to deliver on it? All this kind of stuff we are going to be discussing with today's brilliant guest. She has a scary level of knowledge about the world of SEO, digital marketing, customer experience, and so on and so forth. She's currently working for a very large UK retailer, and she has taken some time out to help explain how she is tackling this challenge in the coming year and letting you know what you need to do, what you don't need to do, and various other bits and pieces. I promise you, by the end of this, you will feel more at ease with the GEO idea. So do enjoy this episode and make sure you listen right to the end, because she's got some great top tips as well. At our sister podcast, Keep Optimizing, we are counting down the weeks until we release episode 300. Yeah, 300. Baby sister is getting big. It's crazy to reach that milestone. And we are going to be celebrating it by releasing content, the episode and a few other bits and bobs, that's even more useful and helpful than what we usually release every week on the Keep Optimizing podcast. There's also the opportunity for you to be a part of it all. To find out how to get involved, go to keepopt.com/300. That's keepopt.com/300. And that way, you can become a part of our Keep Optimizing episode 300 celebrations. Have you yet downloaded our ebook? To celebrate reaching episode 500, we've created an epic e-commerce success-focused ebook for you, packed with 500 top tips about how to make your e-commerce store more profitable, featuring the advice of many, many past guests alongside industry experts and many of you as well, our listeners. I've checked every single tip and organize the whole thing into sections for you, making it super easy to dip in and dip out and take inspiration as and when you need it. This ebook needs to be sat on your desktop or even printed and sat on your desk. Download your free copy right now at ecmp.info/ebook. Get 2024's most valuable e-commerce ebook now, ecmp.info/ebook. And now to introduce our special guest. Miracle Inameti Archibong is an online marketer who's been deep in SEO since 2010, now working at a very large UK retailer after stints in other verticals and agency side. Hello, Mira.
Hello, Chloe. Thanks for having me.
Awesome to have you on the show to cover a topic that I know a lot of our audience are struggling with, let's say, confused, getting pressure from above, all those kind of good stuff at the moment. So it's really great to have you with your vast experience on to help us with it. But first of all, my intro was unfairly short, I feel, with all your experience. So how did you get into this world of e-commerce and SEO?
It wasn't a straight road, very zigzaggy way into it. I mean, I came to the UK in 2007. And I came to do like a digital marketing course. And at that time, I was very interested in video editing. And I was like, I'm going to learn how to do all these things for the web, as we call it then. And then, you know, I did an internship and I got into the paid side of marketing and digital marketing. And then someone said, oh, there's this other side where you can then get things into the organic side. Like, we didn't really call it SEO then. It was just, you know, web optimization. And then that's just how I got into it. And then somehow, you know, the market started to grow. You had this thing on your CV that everyone was getting to know about and wanted to do. So, and that's how I just started on that part. And I found it really interesting because I have a kind of forensic brain where I like to, don't I get bored if, and that's why, no offense to the PPC experts in the room, you know, I was like, oh, set, ad, done, rinse, repeat, isn't it? 16 characters. Google is, you know, the more you spend, the more help and information they give you. I like the whole forensic side of SEO where you're like trying to understand what's happening. You're testing things. Nobody quite knows. This worked for me. This didn't work. Oh my God, Google's tanked this whole method. It is so. I think I like the highs and the lows of the industry a bit too much for my own good.
But I think you have to, you know, to be a successful SEO person, especially as you work in bigger companies and with larger teams, that thirst for knowledge and trying to, you know, reverse engineer things is and testing is just so essential. So I'm guessing then that you have loved the addition of the world of GEO to the world, you know, GEO, AI search, call it what we will, to the world of SEO, because it gives you a whole other thing to get forensic about.
Yes, it's so exciting. It's so exciting. It's making SEO great again. It's so exciting. I think it's a great opportunity for search because, I mean, we'll get to a whole conversation about strategy and what people should do or what people should not do, but it's making, you know, where SEO is always the unsung hero of where, oh, we don't quite understand your tactics and how XYZ equals to money, because of how big AI is in general, not just like large language models, everyone's now paying attention, and overall is a really great thing for the industry. But then again, it's yet another thing that we have to discover ourselves, we have to investigate, we have to understand. And that's any new form of learning is always exciting.
Isn't it just? But then hopefully in this episode, we're going to fast track everybody's learning a bit and give them a bit more reassurance about what is quite a discombobulating topic, I think, for many at the moment. So where to start with how do we deal with all of this? I think, first off, where are we trying to get seen, right? Because sometimes it's about being seen in ChatGPT and other agents' answers and discussions, so people discover you via that and then you get, you know, links through to the website. Other times it's product recommendation engines, and then other times it's trying to get to that bit at the top of Google, the AI snippet piece. So how would you advise a retailer to be focusing on where it is they're trying to appear with all this opportunity of geo? Because I mean, like, when it comes to search engines, we've been treated quite nicely. I will stop and let you answer in a second, I promise. But it's been quite easy here in the West because Google's 80% of the market. So we just had one thing to worry about. The goal is to be high up on Google. Now, part of the GEO goal is to be high up on Google, or it might be to be ranking well on ChatGPT, or it might be to be doing well on Copilot. There's all these different, there's no winner yet. There's no one place we want to be. So where are you advising retailers to focus? Where would you focus?
The first thing to say is that good SEO is good GEO. And I think that's the most important thing that everyone needs to take away from this. Like, good SEO is good GEO. The core principles are still exactly the same. And that's where everyone should be starting from. It's still, I think the key thing is all of these large language models are data consumers. And in order to be able to get data, you still need technical SEO. And in that way, where your site has to be accessible, they need to be able to crawl it, they need to be able to download the data, they need to be able to. So you still need to be fast. And those are still all principles of technical SEO. You need to structure your page in the way that they can access this data or understand it, because they can't read English, isn't it? They're converting things to numbers, understanding structures. So using schema. So all of the core principles of general SEO still exist. Like, they're looking for good content. They're looking for trustworthy content. And that's where we're now, you see, a lot of people are now talking about brand and pivoting to brand. Because imagine, like, the amount of content that's in the world now. It's like, I think when Google was sued, the last of so many lawsuits, they said they had over 400 billion websites in their index. So for all of these large language models, the key is, how do we understand these data? How do we then pass in? How do we then surface the most trustworthy data? Because right now they're acting as answer engines, where before they could abdicate the responsibility and be like, well, this recommendation is from the Guardian, so it's, you know, this recommendation is from this. But now they're pulling the Guardian's recommendation, XYZ's recommendation, and then mixing it up and giving you their own answers. And so they want to be right every time. And that's now brand, isn't it? This is where brands will win, because they're like, okay, we trust this brand. We will rely on that information. So the core principles, you know, of SEO still work for GEO. Like, I mean, Google just had their recent Search Central Summit. They said that again. I mean, it depends on where you stand on, like, trusting Google or not trusting Google. But for me, looking at it from a common sense level, you know, standing behind all the noise, the core principles still exist. Like, Gemini gets most of its information from the web. Like, most of these websites, most of these large language models get most of their information from the web. It just depends on what training data they're using and what their focus is on. Like, Gemini focuses on, like, the web, which, I mean, Google has the largest index, so why wouldn't it use that ready of available information? ChatGPT focuses on, they heavily rely on, like, social media ready. So, again, when you're thinking of where should I focus, I would say, rather than doing what we did in the past and making that whole mistake in the when the digital era came and people stopped focusing on brand and all started chasing search engines, focus on your brand, focus on where your audience is, and then let the large language model kind of re-engineer themselves. So in the way that if your brand is on Reddit and if your consumers are on Reddit and you focus on that, then you will just naturally, if you do good work and you have good brand authority, you will just naturally be a ChatGPT top contender. You know, if you were always a Google, your audience go to search and do that, and then you have great rankings there, then you will just naturally be featured in Gemini. So that's where, you know, saying good SEO is good GEO. Now, I wouldn't stop there and be like, there's nothing else to do, because there is definitely something else to do. And that's now, like, looking at how you then restructure your strategy. And that's where I'm kind of focusing on. So whereas before, you know, brands will go after, or businesses will go after every generic keyword, you know, on the surface of the ad, anything that is almost like a TED step from their audience to cover all grounds, those strategies don't, it's just a waste of your time, isn't it? Because information queries more and more and more being pulled, being answered directly by AI overviews and all of these LLMs and things like that. So you're not going to get, you know, if you're not the right authority for that query or that content, why are you wasting your time? So it's where to put your efforts, isn't it? You now have to be hyper-focused on putting your efforts on what will give you results, because a lot of people are reporting this, and we're seeing this as well, where you have, like, loads of impressions for different content, but no clicks. So why would I want to focus my time on then feeding the data log with loads of content that offers me no value? So if you're doing stuff, make sure it's stuff that will offer you. And I'm not saying you can't do content anymore, but make sure that it's content that is offering additional value to your user, not just for the sake of general visibility. Because how many people, like, you see with the LLMs, they're putting, like, a link symbol. How many people actually click on the link? Like, once I have my information, why would I want, do you understand it? The greatest example I use is baking a cake. Usually I have, like, I'm going to bake a cake on Saturday. I have, you know, a tub of butter, which is 250 gram, and I'm like, oh, this is the cake I'm going to make. I come downstairs. My sons used to have to make cookies, blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, oh, I really want to make a cake. I just go to, you know, whatever LLM and say, hey, I now have 50 gram of butter. Give me a recipe, blah, 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 that feed, you know, and it gives me that recipe. I'm not going to click to see who provided the alternative recipe. I'm just going to take that content and go away with it. So it's like, you just really have to be hyper-focused in your strategy in creating things. Like before, you would see, you know, the brand or the product team will usually come to the SEO team and be like, oh, we have this new product and there's like this feature, that feature. And the SEO team would be like, well, nobody's searching for that. That's a brand thing. We don't care about it. All of that's changed now because so many long tail queries, so many, the way user search is so evolving. Now you should be jumping on all of those niche details and everything and fleshing those out because that's what your user wants to know. So that in the way that you approach your content creation and your strategy creation, all of that's changed rather than, but again, you don't do all of this, but to the same SEO principles. That's such a long answer, but.
It is. It's such a long answer. I have about 20 follow-up questions for you on that one, but I'm gonna break it down a little bit and do a bit of a summary, and then I will give you another question. So what I'm taking from your answer is we don't need to get over worried about where we're trying to appear. If we're following the technical requirements that we would do for SEO around schema, around page readability, and all this kind of stuff, then we're going to be delivering the right things to the right engines and it will happen. So it's not like we have one team working on Google SEO and one team working on Gemini and one team working on ChatGPT and one team working on Copilot. It's all the same activity. We've just got to make sure we've actually done it, which I think is where a lot of people are having to catch up. And then the rest of it, the building trust and the content strategy, that side of things has changed quite massively. In terms of it now, I love the way you sum it up as a brand focus. It's not about creating a big old list of keywords. It's about going, where are we strong? Where should we be talking about? Where should we be creating content about? Where do our customers want to hear us creating content? You know, your example of Reddit, if anyone's ears pricked up and go, oh, we need to go and get big on Reddit. If your customers weren't already, I mean, go and double check, is anyone already talking about you and your topic over there? If they're not, don't do it. It's not going to work because you need that. You need that validity and that kind of almost ecosystem of content. Otherwise, you're one lone voice in the wind, which is not going to get picked up. I think, as we go into 2026 and beyond, we're going to more and more be talking about the cohesive content system of an entity and how well that all matches up together. Is that what you're seeing? You know, the brand, if we got outlier random stuff we shouldn't be talking about, are we in operating in the right areas?
Yeah, it's that we've always said this for a long time and never done it, isn't it? Like no service is a silo. Like no service is a silo. You can't, and now even more, but people had always treated like digital as the silo, brand as a silo, PR as a silo. And all of these things work together. A key thing about PR, you know, that and why it's, you would hear so many people in the SEO industry saying it's making a resurgence because at some point it got like a really bad rap because of all the Google penalties, is that, you know, with the way that LLMs kind of interpret language, is that, you know, they then turn it into numbers and numbers then look at frequency and all of these things. So reputation and consistency really matters for LLMs. If you're trying to be known for something, that reputation to build up the frequency and to know that this is the next best thing, you know, because when you say like, no crying over spilled milk, so they know, for example, if you're a company that sells, you know, unique clothes for, I don't know, ecosystems, that doesn't make sense, but I'm just saying they want to see it like in 10 places saying unique clothes for ecosystems, unique. And then they know once they mention that brand, what does this do? They know exactly it's unique 10 for clothes for ecosystems. So that's where all of these, so your PR agency or your PR can't just go ahead and keep doing something else when you know that we're trying to be recognized as the brand for ecosystems. You see what I mean? So it's that everyone needs to be singing the same song with the same hymn, you know, so that again, when this LLMs, when they get the data, when they map it out, when they understand the frequency, that reputation is there, that consistency is there, that reinforcement of language is there. And so that the models and the data sets understand that this is exactly what you're trying to say, and this is who you are and what they should be featuring you for.
I mean, in the e-commerce space, we're already seeing almost a revival of SEO core principles, because everyone seems to care more about AI than they do about SEO, despite the traffic inequalities of those two things at the moment. But it's at least getting people to do what they should have done all along. I think the other thing we're going to be seeing is almost a revival of not link building, but I mean high quality link building, off-site content, in terms of higher quality social media activity, higher quality PR activity, to get that repetition of our core message in more places in order to feed a clearer view to the LLMs of what our business is, but also to build that trust and that authority. Is that something you see being a part of this?
Yes. So it's not really about links anymore, more about citations. It's getting those citations in everywhere. And I love what you said about like higher quality social media. It's doing less, doing, you know, you do less, but you do the less really well. Because before it was all about quantity. It's mass and mass and mass and so much information overload that, you know, just kind of ruined the internet. And nobody understood, you know, who do I trust? It's like top list of laptops. Is this paid? Is this, you know, is this an affiliate site? What am I doing? And then people ran to socials, and then there's all of the influencer culture, and it's everyone's just looking for where is a source that I can trust. And that's why you see, you know, LLMs like ChatGPT leaning towards more towards social, because they're like, oh, maybe the social algorithms are the ones to trust. And it's all of these things where, and that's what, you know, you have systems like Claude that's more research-based. Everyone's like, what's the key thing that I can trust now? And that's going to be really interesting.
So for someone listening who is that head of e-commerce, head of marketing, who's trying to work out where they should be focusing in 2026. I think there's a couple of key things we should cover off. So relatively quick answers to these, I think, but if they're really complicated ones, feel free to go long. Team-wise, do we need to separate, you know, create a new team for GEO? Can we do it within the existing SEO team? Is it about refocusing? Is it about paying attention to some new services? What should the team, any team changes we should be doing to do with this?
I wouldn't create my recommendation. I wouldn't create a separate team for GEO. I will have the team looking at and getting educated in the core principles, optimization, that kind of stuff. I wouldn't create a new team. I will create a technical team that is looking at LLMs for, you know, different ways, how we can improve efficiency, how we can build tiny tools and gems and all of those kind of things. That's where I will create a separate team. But for GEO, no, I will let the SEO team, you know, grow that out.
Got you. And I mentioned, you know, that with traffic-wise, the reports we're seeing so far, because obviously e-commerce brands, we want traffic. It's about driving those sales. It's the amount of traffic that's coming from AI in its various forms is still pretty low in the grand scheme of things compared to the volume of traffic coming from SEO. So how much change would you be making? How much more budget would you be putting in place to do all of this? You know, if it was equal to SEO right now, it would be like, whoa, double the budget. We need to double down on this. This is, you know, this is our big one for 2026. And it's getting a lot of noise. So I think people are thinking they need to do loads about it. But how big a focus shift is this causing in terms of actually looking at the amount of traffic it's driving to websites at the moment?
That's an interesting question. I mean, you have to keep on top of trends, and you have to be where large retailers struggle is being an early adapter. I would say for e-commerce brands, what's emerging now is we can see that all of these large language models, all of them are looking at how they can monetize this thing. And Google recently launched in the US, they launched their agentic AI for holiday shopping. And what they've done is that they've used their Google Feeds in Merchant Center. And because that's the biggest place, they like, it's quick and easy. They know the data, the feed's already set, blah, blah, blah. So, but that will be something I would say that, you know, you need to start discussing with your engineering team. So that's more like a technical solution. You need to start preparing for agentic AI because, you know, the free models can't work for very long. Data is so expensive and they have to monetize this. And that's where, with the role of agentic AI, you know, I knew ChatGPT was talking about a payment model. And so that's something that you need, your engineers need to be focusing on. Do we build, you know, text-only HTML, one that they can quickly crawl and index all? Do we expose our APIs? These are very security conscious decisions that, you know, need the dev team that knows and engineers that know what they're doing with API calls and all of that. So that's, I would say that's a key place to focus, you know, a lot of extra budget on doing those research so that if that world, you know, when that world comes, not if, you're prepared, you're ready, you have a solution for people to use agentic AI on your site. I was looking at one of the demos of agentic AI and the AI was actually accessing the site like a human being. I don't know what I was expecting. I was expecting it to be fast and quick, but no, it was clicking all the links. It was getting stuck like a human being will. So I think your SEO team can also focus on accessibility, you know, crawling the site like, you know, and someone's accessibility needs will be using screen readers, you know, making sure that they can access all the links, all the jumps, you know, all of those things. But give your SEO team, I'm sure the most SEO teams are underfunded, even for normal SEO. So, you know, renew that focus and give them the budget to do normal SEO well. And then, you know, invest in AI for efficiency. How can we use AI to automate a lot of tasks, make things efficient for the team, and then speak to your engineers about the development work in exposing to agentic AI.
So a lot of kind of prep work and foundation laying and content activity across the technical and the trust stuff this year. And then we will all keep an eye on what's happening with those traffic levels as we go through the year, which brings us on to the other key question I want to ask, which is metrics and monitoring. Is there, you know, we all know what we should be tracking in SEO, in GEO, are there key stats people are tracking right now to see if it's working or not? I mean, I'm guessing ranking reports are out the window. but what are you looking at?
I'm so undecided about on this. I don't know. Like, I thought I had swung to one way and then I read a bunch of things and I'm swung to another way. I would say, you know, we all have key stakeholders that we need to report to that, you know, probably asking loads of questions about, you know, visibility and all of that. There's a lot of prompt tracking tools. I've tested some of them. I really like Profound. I like Peck AI. However, there is some division in the industry about prompt tracking. And it's to say, it's the similar things with rank tracking, isn't it? There's a lot of personalization on AI. Most of the queries are very, very long tail. You know, that how many times is someone going to, you know, type that again? And you know, with any AI model, the more you search, it learns what you want. And so it increasingly narrows. There's so much potential for bias, but that's another ethics topic to go into another day. It increasingly narrows. So with all of those things, you know, there is some, you know, there is some division around prompt tracking. So, but people, you know, some people in the industry believe that you should focus more on topic, you know, topic tracking, not tracking per se, but that cluster, understanding where you sit in the topic cluster, how much visibility you have in topic clusters. I'm still exploring both options, if I'm being honest. I would say if you're a business and, you know, we don't want as a search specialist to fall into the old days where we're like, oh, there's a correlation and it's wishy-washy. And that's where, you know, SEO got that reputation for not just being trackable or being a dark art or something. Like, you want a metric that people can easily understand. I would say if you can do both, if you have the money to do both. If you probably have money to do one, then topic clusters will be where the market's kind of leaning, you know, the professionals leaning towards. But we'll see where we end up.
Yeah, indeed. It sounds like an undefined space at the moment. So we'll keep an eye out on that one. And then a big question before we head towards the top tips, which is if more answers are being surfaced in AI of one sort or another, should we be expecting site traffic to drop but conversion rate to increase? You know, your example of the cake recipe, you've not gone to the originator of that recipe or the three originators of that recipe's websites. You got the answer there and then, but you weren't going to buy anything anyway. So for an e-commerce brand, potentially that's a good thing. But should we expect to see over time a lowering of traffic volume, but potentially also an increase in conversion rate, she says.
Before I answer that question, I just also want to mention another tool. Sorry, I did mention the tool for prompt tracking and I did mention the one for topic clusters, which is YK. So check out those tools if you're comparing. Now, back to the question you asked. I mean, we will see, we have seen already massive, massive drop in clicks. We've seen an increase in impressions, which is like what I've done, which is I've looked at the thing, I've gone away, I haven't clicked on anything. We've seen that across the board, and that will just continue to grow. You know, the more AI search grows, the more we'll see, you know, the X continue to trend downwards and upwards. I think in terms of e-commerce, you have to click to buy. That's always a win. And that's where it becomes even more important to focus on the less fluffy stuff if it's not important to your brand. If it's not educating your customers, if it's not influencing them to make a buying decision, if it's not, you know, I mean, but we will still soon start seeing adverts in LLMs anyway. So there is that. And, you know, increasingly people will be asking questions on, if people are not clicking on these links, how do we make, you know, brands more prominent in the organic space of this LLM. So I won't be surprised if they start to do something like what Google did with favicons and logos and stuff to say, oh, you can optimize for us because we drive brand awareness in some kind of way, you know, say. But with agentic AI, you know, that I don't know how that will be measured, but if, you know, the agent is crawling your site, making a decision on buying on your behalf, then surely that's a click. So it'll be interesting to see when they fully roll out the e-commerce aspect of it. But yes, if you know, it's a win for you, isn't it? It's a win for you if on e-commerce, if people have to click to buy. The sites that would really struggle are all of, you know, as we already see affiliate sites are struggling, information-only sites where your data can quickly be augmented and there's no action to take. Those, I mean, recipe sites are really, really struggling. I know that I'm part of the problem.
E-commerce Master Plan is supported by some of the greatest companies in the e-commerce sector. Here's a reminder of who they are.
At our sister podcast, Keep Optimizing, we are counting down the weeks until we release episode 300. Yeah, 300. Baby sister is getting big. It's crazy to reach that milestone. And we are going to be celebrating it by releasing content, the episode and a few other bits and bobs, that's even more useful and helpful than what we usually release every week on the Keep Optimizing podcast. There's also the opportunity for you to be a part of it all. To find out how to get involved, go to keepopt.com/300. That's keepopt.com/300. And that way you can become a part of our Keep Optimizing episode 300 celebrations. Have you yet downloaded our ebook? To celebrate reaching episode 500, we've created an epic e-commerce success-focused ebook for you, packed with 500, yes, 500 top tips about how to make your e-commerce store more profitable, featuring the advice of many, many past guests alongside industry experts and many of you as well, our listeners. I've checked every single tip and organise the whole thing into sections for you, making it super easy to dip in and dip out and take inspiration as and when you need it. This ebook needs to be sat on your desktop or even printed and sat on your desk. Download your free copy right now at ecmp.info/ebook. Get 2024's most valuable e-commerce ebook now, ecmp.info/ebook.
It's time for the top tips round.
Okay, I love this section because it gives me and our listeners some really quick ideas for taking our businesses to the next level. Mira, are you ready for the top tips?
Yes.
Okay, the book top tip. If everyone listening to this podcast agreed to take Friday off and read a book to make their business better, which book would you recommend?
Oh, this is I don't know if this is a business book per se, but this is my favorite book when I became like a senior leader, because I looked around and I saw like there's so many people who are cocktrot, and I was like, oh, am I going to make it in this environment? Is there a space for people like me? And then I read Adam Grant's Give and Take, and I really love it because it proves that you don't have to be cutthroat. Generosity is actually a competitive advantage, and that's why I love that book. So if you're like me and you think, do I need to be, you know, cutthroat or can I?
That definitely counts as a great book recommendation, and I can see it on one of my bookshelves very close by me, so I will second that recommendation. Traffic top tip. Which marketing method do you either prize above all others or think doesn't get the press it deserves?
Oh, I think everything's been talked to death. I don't know if anything doesn't really get the press that it deserves. But I would say there is a, you know, back to basics of brand and community building. That being a helpful business above trying to sell is making a massive, massive resurgence. And I would say, you know, try and build a community. Future-proof your brand against all of these trends by making people come to you. So if there is a way you can build a community, an engaged community that you're helping, do that.
I love that one. And yeah, it's such a hard thing to do, but definitely a superpower for the coming years. A tool top tip then, maybe a collaboration tool, a social media plugin, a phone app, or just a way of working. Is there a cool little tool you use that makes you and your team more efficient from day to day?
I would plug, and I know loads of people use ChatGPT instead, I'm not really familiar with what that ecosystem is, but within Gemini, there is a great ecosystem where you can add like your emails, your calendar, you know, YouTube, like anything in the Google ecosystem, and be like, add this, can you give me a summary? Can you summarize my emails? The other day I did a fun thing where I was like, summarize my personal emails. Tell me how many emails are from school, how many are mine, and how many is like targeted advertising, and what do I need to ignore, and do I need to do anything with this? It needs us that. So, okay, add this to my calendar. So that's really good for being like a personal assistant.
I love that. Yeah, people don't talk about Gemini enough, I don't believe, as a Google fan. So love that one. Carbon top tip, finally. What's your favourite way to reduce the carbon footprint of an e-commerce store?
I switch everything off from the socket. I think that's probably not... I mean, there must be regulations and things that you can't switch off, because I think once people shut something down and it's not running, they just never switch it off from the socket. And I'm like, no, switch it off, because that's still... electricity, you know, the light on the microwave that says 00 is consuming electricity, and that's not a thing that needs regulation. You can just switch that off. So there needs to be a habit of like anything that is not regulatory equipment being switched off from the socket at night.
I totally get where you're coming from with this one. And for, you know, computer health, to have a well-performing computer, you need to turn it off every now and then, people.
Yeah,
you can't leave it on all the time.
I know. I remember when we were working in the office, like, just switch off the light and lock the office, but everyone's computer still plugged. Like, you can see the light on the monitors. Like, this is like consuming unnecessary electricity overnight.
Yeah. I love that tip. So easy. Like you say, no regulation, nothing required, just easy to do it. But as you said, make sure it's something you're allowed to turn off.
You're definitely allowed to turn off.
Mira, before we say goodbye, how can the listeners get in contact if they want to get in contact with you?
So I'm on LinkedIn these days. That's where I hang out, on LinkedIn. So you can find me there. I mean, I have a website. I offer mentoring, one-to-one mentoring for new managers. I love being impactful. I have a level 4 counselling certificate from the British Association of Counselling. So yeah, I have some experience. So yeah, I do love working with new managers, building confidence and things like that.
Awesome. Well, look, everyone, you can find out and get in contact with Mira via her LinkedIn if you're interested in any of that or got questions about what we've been chatting about. Mira, thank you so much for being on the show. I hope We have lowered the blood pressure of many senior e-commerce team members when it comes to the world of geo with this episode. I'm sure we have. So thank you so much for being up for doing it.
Oh, thank you for having me. I had a lovely time.
Loads of clarity there from Mira on how to handle the geo AI search thing in the coming year. And I guess it is about setting those foundations. So making sure you've got all your technical SEO in place and then starting the process of building those trust citations, consolidating the brand view across everything. But we say building the foundations, but you never know when the traffic volumes are going to go up and what the AI companies are going to do next. I mean, we've recorded this in December and you never know, it might be out of date by the time you guys hear it in January because things are evolving so fast. But the good thing, I think, is that so much of this is just building on good SEO because, as Mira said, the principles remain the same. It's trying to give someone the right answer. And that's all the AI is trying to do. It's all that Google's been trying to do for the last few decades. So it makes sense that it fits with the whole SEO story as well. And some great recommendations for tools to test out and tracking to test out and various other bits and pieces in there. So huge thanks to Mira for being up for doing this for us. You can get your hands on the notes from this episode, including those top tips and links to what we mentioned by heading over to ecommercemasterplan.com. You can use our direct episode short link to get there as well. That's ecmp.info/the number of this episode. When you get to the website, please do add yourself to our email newsletter because we've got some really exciting stuff going on there at the moment. And if you liked this episode, then you can catch up with our other What Would You Do episodes. You can find them all at ecmp.info/WWYD. And we are, I think this is our fourth, and we've been getting some really cool senior brand side people on to tackle big questions for you. So do go and have a listen to the others because they will really help you with your planning for 2026. Thank you for tuning into this and every episode of the E-commerce Master Plan podcast. I bring you a new interview every week because I want to inspire and help e-commerce business owners like you to succeed and thrive with your businesses, including becoming more sustainable. So if you know someone this show can help, please tell them to listen to the E-commerce Master Plan podcast. I hope you have a great week and don't forget to keep optimizing.
Thank you for listening to the E-commerce Master Plan podcast. Find out more at ecommercemasterplan.com/podcast.
At our sister podcast, Keep Optimizing, we are counting down the weeks until we release episode 300. Yeah, 300. Baby sister is getting big. It's crazy to reach that milestone. And we are going to be celebrating it by releasing content, the episode and a few other bits and bobs, that's even more useful and helpful than what we usually release every week on the Keep Optimizing podcast. There's also the opportunity for you to be a part of it all. To find out how to get involved, go to keepopt.com/300. That's keepopt.com/300. And that way you can become a part of our Keep Optimizing episode 300 celebrations. Have you yet downloaded our ebook? To celebrate reaching episode 500, we've created an epic e-commerce success-focused ebook for you, packed with 500 top tips about how to make your e-commerce store more profitable, featuring the advice of many, many past guests alongside industry experts and many of you as well, our listeners. I've checked every single tip and organize the whole thing into sections for you, making it super easy to dip in and dip out and take inspiration as and when you need it. This ebook needs to be sat on your desktop or even printed and sat on your desk. Download your free copy right now at ecmp.info/ebook. Get 2024's most valuable e-commerce ebook now, ecmp.info/ebook.